The City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra perform Britain's work of memorial and reconciliation, 50 years after they premiered it as the cathedral was consecrated. Radio 3 live in concert from Coventry, Wednesday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Yes, live music every night, Monday to Friday from 7:30. This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and in high definition online. It's 11 o'clock now. Time for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
The tantalizing and rich sound of today's very special guest, vocalist Melody Gardot. Stay tuned to hear her insights and passions on life and music, plus tracks from her beautifully crafted new album, The Absence. Also on the programme, we profile the Cardiff-based Edition Records in the company of its creators, pianist Dave Stapleton and photographer Tim Dickerson. Over the last 4 years, this label has been supporting British talent with consistency and now have a solid and admirable identity to rival any of the established jazz labels. Artists such as Keith Tippett, Robert Mitchell, Jason Yard, Marius Nassette and Phrenesis all release on Edition and are musicians at the forefront of their craft. First up, though, a brand new release from a UK stalwart who, from the very beginning, has moved through the rich tapestry of creative music. Saxophonist Larry Stabbins played with the aforementioned Keith Tippett and Louis Maholo, with Chris McGregor's Brotherhood of Breath, and the UK free scene with the likes of drummers John Stevens and Tony Oxley in the 1970s. In the 80s, he featured heavily in the pop band Working Week and was a major figure in the jazz resurgence of that decade. These days, he goes by the name Stoneface Stabbins. Transcendental is the title of his latest release and features the piano talents of one Zoe Rahman. This is Soul Train. Thank you. Stoneface Stabbins on tenor saxophone, and Soul Train, which takes its lead heavily from Coltrane's Impressions. Zoe Rahman took the piano solo with Crispin Spry Robinson on percussion, Carl Abel on bass, and Pat Illingworth on the drums. The album is called Transcendental, released on the Noetic label, and is very much a tribute in conception to the work of John Coltrane. Definitely similarities in approach to Courtney Pine's early work. And talking of great saxophonists touched by the genius of Coltrane, Pharoah Sanders has just been announced as the headlining act for this year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival, which runs from the 27th of June to the 2nd of July. And you can catch him at the Old Fruit Market on the 27th of June. That's the opening night of the festival. Well, it's that time of year when the ancient halls of our government headquarters resonate with the movers and shakers of the jazz fraternity. Yes, it's the Parliamentary Jazz Awards 2012, where the all-party Parliamentary Jazz Appreciation Group gather together to celebrate and acknowledge the multitudinous achievements in Britain's jazz scene. They gathered together last week, and I can tell you who the winners are. Jazz Musician of the Year is Bobby Wellens. Jazz Album of the Year, Leanne Carroll for Up and Down. Jazz Ensemble of the Year is the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra. Well, congratulations to Tommy Smith on that. Live Jazz Award of the Year, The Spin in Oxford. Well deserved. Jazz Journalist of the Year is John Newey, who runs Jazzwise. Jazz Broadcaster of the Year, congratulations to our very own Jamie Cullum for his show on Radio 2. Jazz Publication of the Year is Jazz UK. Services to Jazz Award goes to John Cumming. The All-Party Parliamentary Jazz Appreciation Group Special Award goes to clarinetist Aka Bilk. Bassist Gary Crosby won for Jazz Education, and here's Gary with the new troupe of 1997 on an original composition called Goree Island. Bassist Gary Crosby and the New Troupe with Goree Island from the 1997 album Migrations. Gary runs a very effective and successful jazz program based at the Royal Festival Hall, where young players take part and contribute to the Tomorrow's Warriors Band. And I just witnessed their small ensemble win the under-19 jazz category for the second time in a row as part of the Yamaha Jazz Experience held a few weeks ago at this year's Cheltenham Jazz Festival. The prize is a gig at the illustrious Ronnie Scott's Club in Soho, which I'll tell you about as soon as the date is announced. Gary and the Tomorrow's Warriors Youth Jazz Orchestra will also be involved in the Essentially Ellington program at the Barbican Centre in London on Saturday the 14th of July. Congratulations once again to Gary and all the Parliamentary Jazz Award winners. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on digital radio. In August last year, the UK jazz community was struck by the sad news of trumpeter Richard Turner's passing at the tender age of 27 of a ruptured aortic aneurysm while swimming. He emerged from a talented crop of musicians that attended the Royal Academy of Music in London just under a decade ago now. He was particularly driven and ran the Consella Jazz Bar in Camden Town. He played in Drive, the energetic and contemporary quartet of drummer, pianist and composer Gary Husband, and was part of the Fire Collective, through which his own quartet, Round Trip, was formed and released on their own label. Round Trip is a pianoless quartet with Turner on trumpet, Michael Chillingworth on alto, Tom Farmer on the bass, and Joshua Morrison on the drums. This is Two Minor. We'll be right back. The displaced sense of time belies its 4/4 time signature, 2 minor, penned by gifted trumpeter Richard Turner with his band Round Trip. The album is simply called Round Trip and gives a full flavour of this group of young, talented musicians with Turner at the helm. His trumpet playing had real strength and identity, and his writing was assured and searching. The tragedy of his passing is a significant loss to the British music scene, as his contribution was multifaceted as a musician, composer, and promoter. On July the 10th, there's a celebration of his music, life, and contribution with a memorial concert at Duke's Hall in the Royal Academy of Music in London on Tuesday, the 10th of July at 7:30 p.m. The gifted vocalist Melody Gardot joined me a couple of weeks ago at Broadcasting House in London to talk about her new album, The Absence, and living in different Latin areas of the world to gain inspiration for this well-constructed, soulful and classy new recording, dripping with the musical flavours of Portugal, Spain, Argentina and Brazil. This is Mira. Era un pedo si rabia.
The felicidad that I hold in my heart is a pretty good start for us too. And if in the world there were only tristes, I would find happiness in the blues. Mira, look at what you do to me. Mira, look at all the fantasy. Mira, this is such a lovely way to grieve. In all that I've seen, all the love that I need is the love that reminds me of you. In every smile is a trace of the joy that I feel like a sweet morning dew. Mira, look at what you do to me. Mira, look at all the fantasy. Mira, this is such a lovely way to please. This is such a lovely way to be something. Cada día que conocí te recuerdo, añorando un momento de encontrarte. Volver a besarte, para darte un regalo perfecto. Ay, delirio de sentirte en mis brazos, recreando los momentos pasados en tu cuarto, un hotel estrellado, donde fuimos un regalo divino, un regalo divino, un regalo divino, un regalo divino, un regalo divino. Thank you.
That's Mira by Melody Gardot, and what a lovely album. And I'm very happy to say that she joins me now. It's such a pleasure to have you here and to be speaking with you.
Thank you, for me too.
Your album is just a classy act. It's full of great intimacy, well-constructed music. And that one's called Mira, and it's got that wonderful sort of Brazilian samba-esque feel. And it seems that the theme of the record is very Latin-based. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong?
No, you're correct. Completely correct. I had traveled for quite some time between Portugal and South America, taking a journey to places where I felt compelled to go. Almost in a divine way, I woke up and said, I'm going to Portugal, and then I'm going to South America. Mm-hmm. It was not a question. And from that moment that I set that intention, every opportunity to go opened up in a very simple way. And I became very enthralled by music which I had formerly known little bits about. You know, you experience things like Chorinho, Amália Rodrigues, great fado singers. You experience, you know, Antonio Carlos Jobim, Elis Regina. She's amazing, Mulginha, forget it. You have people like Stan Getz taking this on. And those were the first things that I had heard when I really came around to music. So it was kind of like tracing the bloodline to things that had always interested me. But what I found funny is that never before had I really had the ability to express what I was interested in terms of those musical genres until actually going and living amongst people, experiencing the music and being a part of it. Listening to the record wasn't enough. It was like a sort of small refraction of the inspiration. But living there, hearing the music on the breeze in the mountains, I remember Florianópolis, watching the moon set over the hills. I'd never seen this before. I could hear samba on the breeze. It's shuddering everywhere. It's happening in ports. It's happening against the poles of ships and shipyards. And experiencing a culture like Brazil, it was not the only culture that inspired me, but because I came back and arrived into the hands of someone like Heitor Pereira, who is Brazilian, it was very easy to translate exactly what I was feeling, especially in moments like in Mira, with he and also Mugi. You know, Mugi's incredible. So we had the opportunity to work together and really just dance ourselves in the studio. There wasn't a day that we weren't dancing. It was really fun. You know, I walk in and you go, opa, melodia! We start the samba. And Paulinho da Costa, he was there for a minute, you know. Right. He's kind of like a one-man samba band. He's amazing. Yeah. So
that's a legend right there.
Oh, he's wonderful. When he smiles, the room changes temperature, you know. He's just incredible. So we had the opportunity to take these songs, which were inspired directly from these countries. You know, as a musician, you're just painting with sound. We're always doing that. This album, you know, the songs can be done in a very simple way. But what was great about what we've come together and done now with Heitor is it's almost in a way made pictures and music. I can see Brazil in Mira. I can see those kids. I can see the dancing of people, you know, all along the streets. I can see people stripping their clothes off and going to grab a coconut on the beach. I can see what my memories are in the music, and that's really special.
Yeah, it's very visceral. You definitely pick it all up. It just screams at you, actually. We're going to move back to the album, and we're going to have a listen to So We Meet Again, My Heartache.
So we meet again, my heartache. So we meet again, my friend. I should have known that you'd return the moment I was on the mend. So we meet again, my heartache. Like two lovers torn bound together by the breaking of a tired and torn heart.
so we meet again. My heart is just as leaves begin to change. How you've made my life a story filled with words you rearrange. So we meet again, my heart is. Come and join me in my pain. You're the reason I remember every sweet and sad refrain. With me a while, rest your head upon my shoulder, hide your face beneath my smile. So we meet again, my heartache. Oh, a glass of stale wine. I hope you'll join me. My ghoulish host, and maybe stay a while this time. Oh no.
So we meet again, my heartache, from Elliot Degardo's new album, The Absence. Why is it called The Absence?
Well, I was trying to come up with The Absinthe because it was a lot of time I spent with spirits before I sat down to write, but I thought that that might sound a little bit strange. Oh man, we had Porto from like 18th century. We had the craziest wine sometimes. Mm. I woke up one day, I felt like Dean Martin, and I said to my friends, I can't drink anymore. He said, why? I said, my kidneys hurt. And it wasn't as if we were lush about it. It's just that where we were in Portugal, mm-hmm. you have a bottle of wine amongst friends, it takes 6 hours, and you're having regular wine.
Right.
I'm very sensitive, you know? Mm. So after a little period of that, I thought, okay, I need to take it easy. But they do, they put wine in soup, they put wine in chicken, they put wine everywhere. And so they think the French are the people about wine, but the Portuguese, man, they are something else. They have great wines.
Mm.
No, that's actually kind of a joke about the absinthe thing. The idea of the absence, you know, there was a point where I knew that this record was going to have two parts.
Mm-hmm.
And under the circumstances, it wasn't possible to do them all at once. So there was a side to either one that I had to sway to.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first impressions of the journey I had taken. And that first part of my journey was a coming and going, mm-hmm. where, you know, sometimes I would leave and the craziest things would happen. One day I left to Italy and I was leaving from Lisbon. And as I got on the plane, a ship rolled in to the port that they were building.
Mm-hmm.
And it was named Melody. And I went to Italy to see a friend of mine, Fabrizio Ferri, have an exhibition at the Teatro San Carlo in Napoli. I came back, and just as I was arriving, the ship departed. And my friend turned to me and he said, you're never going to believe this. He showed me pictures. He goes, it's like you never left. He said, when you're here, there is always your presence, even in your absence, you know?
Mm.
You somehow come to a point in your life when you encounter a community and a family and a group of people that you've become so connected to that you're never really gone. Mm. It's always a bientôt. And there was a great sadness for me leaving these places because as much as I was, you know, finished with my studies, I was studying language and music and the history of the music and learning the Portuguese guitar and working with great, great, great musicians. I knew it was time to move on.
Right.
And so the absence is kind of the definitive mark of the journey because I was arriving, learning, digesting, loving, and then going. And yeah. This is where I first learned the feeling of a word that had always been mysterious to me, which was saudade.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no equivalent in the English language, but when I went through the Latin dictionary to try and find something, I came up with absentina.
You mean like saudade?
Saudade,
yeah. What's next for you? What? Is it just all about touring this record?
At the moment, we have a summer tour lined up. Mm. I know that we're going to be doing a little more promotion as time goes on, but our summer tour is the thing that I look forward to the most, in a way, because it's that time to gel as a group, you know? So we're going to be hitting all over Europe and parts of Scandinavia, and then we start up again in the fall. I think we're running straight through to next year. But in the interim, I'm running a university for music therapy, which is really great. And I'm really excited about that. We started that last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also working to build a little school of music with this community that we found in Brazil. Because I asked them, I said, you know, my dream is to come here and do something good with you. What's your dream? And they said, well, we don't have the money for instruments. So these kids, they're amazing, but they don't have any idea or knowledge of what is poetry and what is literature and what is music. They right. feel it because they're Brazilian, imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't have any scholastic opportunity to explore it. So we're going to be doing that as well. Mm. And then just writing and working as usual. I'm already to go and do the next album. What's the next thing? What's the next bit? Because I'm excited, you know.
I think you've taken this album to the next level, believe me. I think it's really beautifully constructed, and the songs have a life in them that they don't necessarily end in the same place they started. Mm. They take you on a journey, and in many ways, you know, in the way it's orchestrated, in the way the lyrics unfold, in the way the music unfolds, in the way you feel from the beginning to the end. We're going to finish now with Amália. And Melody Gardot, thank you for coming and speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
The album is called The Absence, and I think it's beautiful. This is Amália.
From the sky, like the tides
ever changing hue and eye. So where do you go when worry takes you? Where do you go when somebody makes you cry? Oh, Maya, finding a way. Chances on the open sea, Amalia. Funny little boy hanging out with me.
Melody Gardeau and Amalia from the Latin-influenced and excellent album The Absence. My thanks to Melody for coming in to speak with me. And The Absence is released tomorrow, May the 28th, on Decca. And if you like what you've heard, then look out for Melody, as she's just recorded a special session for Jamie Cullum's show to be aired in July. And Melody will be at this year's London Jazz Festival on the 10th of November at the Barbican. So plenty Melody to go around. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on digital radio. One of the great drummers who emerged from Herbie Hancock's psychedelic Mwandishi band of the early 70s has a new album out on the ECM label. Bad Plus pianist Ethan Iverson, bassist Ben Street and tenor saxophone star Mark Turner all join the excellent Billy Hart. This is Song for Balkis. The gentle and beautiful tone of Mark Turner featured on the music of drum legend Billy Hart and Song for Balkis. That was with Ethan Iverson on piano and Ben Street on the bass from the new album All Our Reasons, out now on the ECM label. Edition Records is based in Cardiff and the brainchild of pianist and composer Dave Stapleton and photographer Tim Dickerson. Over the last 4 years since the label emerged with Stapleton's own releases and the likes of Keith Tippett, the label has gone from strength to strength. As home to Jasper Hoiby's Phronesis, they have recently been associated with trumpeter Neil Yates, who's just been awarded the Creative Wales Award 2012. Another startling album they released in April 2011 was the saxophonist Marius Nassett's Golden Explosion. This is the title track. Thank you. Norwegian saxophonist Marius Neset, and a lesson in combining musical cells in 3/8 and 5/8. That was Golden Explosion from his album of the same name out on the Edition label. Django Bates was on keys with Jasper Hoiby and Anton Eiger, both from Phronesis, on bass and drums. And I'm happy to say that I'm joined by the two men responsible for the label, Dave Stapleton and Tim Dickerson. Really good to
Hi,
have
Julian,
you.
How are you?
Hi, Julian.
Marius is an incredibly gifted musician. How did you come across him? Was this someone you had been playing with?
No, Dave? Not at all. I mean, I first came across him at Ronnie Scott's. He was playing with Django's Human Chain Band, mm-hmm. I think a Jazz on 3 broadcaster. Mm-hmm. And, I was kind of blown away then, but kind of forgot about him. And then Jasper Hoiby got in contact with me to say he just recorded this album with Marius, and then Marius contacted me and listened to this album, and I kind of thought, wow, this is incredible. Wow. You know, it's something so fresh and so technical but musical at the same time, and it just blew me away. And obviously having Django on the record and Jasper and Anton, who we work with already, is kind of, it seemed a very obvious recording to do for us.
Well, it seems that both you guys are in a very good position to respond to this kind of talent. Tim, just give me a little background on how the label came together and
how it happened.
Yeah.
I met Dave 2004, because we had a mutual friend who was a CD reviewer for the newspaper I worked for at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, you've got to come and see this band. It's a friend of mine, and he's playing in Cardiff tonight. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, there's Dave playing in his first incarnation of his band, which right. was a free improv band. And it was incredible music. And I met Dave afterwards, took some pictures, and we just kind of like hit it off. And then when Dave came to me and said, look, Tim, I think I'd like to set up a purely jazz record label, doing my stuff and also doing modern jazz stuff, contemporary, improvised, modern. I was 100% behind him. I said, yeah, I'll come with you. I'll help you. I'll do it. So Dave leads a company and I just follow behind him.
You're both record execs in real terms.
Yeah, we got our roles in the business. Mm-hmm. And I suppose I deal a lot with having the communication with the artists. Mm-hmm. I suppose it's been my vision, I suppose, and having built that up with over the years before I even started Edition, I knew what I wanted to do with it. And I suppose it's just through lengthy conversations with Tim, and we've kind of discussed what I want to try and do and how to do that. And you know, it was never really meant to be that big. We set it up just to do my music and some mates' music, really. Mm-hmm. But you know, we've both of us got a passion for the music, and also quality and photography and lots of different things within the arts.
The whole package that makes up a CD. Yeah. It's not just about one element, it's about the whole elements. They all have to be right.
Well, this is what I was going to come to you about, Tim. With your obvious eye for detail and for art and for shape and for identity, this is obviously what comes into the look of Edition Records. It has a look of its own.
Yeah, it does. And it's not just my look, because David, in fact, is a very accomplished photographer himself. Mm-hmm. And he also has that eye. So there's not just me, there's two of us that do this. Mm-hmm. Two of us that look after the art of the album. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dave is fantastic with design. I've got a good eye for seeing a good picture and how to crop a picture and things like that. But together, it really, really works. We know what we're looking for. We have an Edition look, which not always exactly the same, but there is an element which is always Edition about everything that we do.
You create this label. The concept is simple: to release my records and a few mates, you know, obviously people who you really respect. Yeah. Already, it's sort of challenging and sitting alongside with the ideas behind some of the great record labels, be it Blue Note, be it some of the recent ones like ECM or... and that must be quite heady for both of you, really.
Well, yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's gone well beyond our expectations completely, mm-hmm. and it's which is really exciting. But at the same time, you know, we're in a recession still, and it's really hard to make this work as a business. And yeah. I think that's what we're really trying to do now is make sure that we make money at the end of the day. Make sure the albums are available everywhere, and make sure the artists are gigging as much as possible, and make sure the albums are promoted, because if they're not promoted, and a lot of labels don't do enough promotion, that's where it falls down, because sure. no one knows about these records.
That's right. Well, it's a long-term vision.
Yeah.
And you just got to hang in there, do the best you can. Yeah. I mean, that's the same way of being a musician or an artist in any field, really.
Exactly.
Well, the next piece we're going to hear is from the new Troika album. Tell us about this particular group with Chris Montague, Kit Downs and Josh Blackmore.
Well, these guys, they first came to us, I think, in late 2008, I think almost when we just started out, and then we released their first album in June 2009. And I just really like their approach to music making, and they're just passionate about the music they're making, and just want to play gigs and they want to make music. And to me, that's just great. And they're fantastic guys to work with, and they've got a unique sound about them that's, to me, I've never really heard before in any other jazz group. They're vibey, they're hip, and, you know, to me, it's great.
Well, Troika, they're formed of guitarist Chris Montague, keyboardist Kit Downs, and drummer Josh Blackmore. The driving force seems to come from Montague, in my estimation. Downs investigates his interest in colour on keyboards, and Blackmore utilises drumming influences from jazz, rock, fusion, those different influences. And so, from the new album, this is Rarebit. Very cheeky little ending there. The electronic and experimental sound of Troika, featuring guitarist Chris Montague, Kit Downs on the organ, and drummer Josh Blackmore. And that's Rarebit from the new album Moxie, out on the Edition record label on the 11th of June. So one of the questions I wanted to put to you guys was like how you're building your roster, who you're looking for, what comes to your attention, if you're actively going out there and looking for new people. Or
we're not actively looking, really. I mean, I get excited by music, and that's the first thing.
Oh, we both do that.
Yeah, that's what's driving us as a business and as a record label. How we make decisions is a kind of long process, looking at the music and how they work as a band, and all sorts of things from image and you know, have they got booking agents involved? You know, can they actually sell CDs? And there's a huge amount of kind of thinking behind it. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, the music we're choosing is stuff that me and Tim like, really. And you know, for example, everything from Neil Yates's to Troika to Phronesis
and Tamco,
you know, is such a wide range of music there. I didn't want to create a record label that has one sound and, you know, has a sound but not the same sort of music, you know. It has a vibe and an energy. So all these musicians, I hope, they're kind of approaching music making the same way, and just it's just a strong passion for music. And that's what I'm really looking for, I think.
And possibly a reflection in your own tastes musically.
Yeah, completely.
Absolutely, yeah. Dave often says that, you know, always says that he can't put a part of his life into a project unless he really likes that music. And I fully understand that. I mean, if we're going to live, breathe and do everything we can for Troika, for argument's sake, we've got to be into that music. We've mm-hmm. got to love that music. If we don't, you know, we're going to sell ourselves short and it's going to show. You know, we are both so much into what we've done. All of these albums we've come across, we thought, wow, we love this. We've got to do this. And we put everything into it, absolutely everything into it. And I think it's right to say that our buying public have got to the point now where some people buy regardless, because they know that Dave's choice in music is good enough that they can take a punt and buy something without possibly having heard that band or heard the whole album, because they know that Dave has got a fantastic choice in music and they'll love it. And that's been proved over and over again. We got one guy in Japan who just automatically buys everything. And then I get the email saying, fantastic, where did you find this band? Mm. And that's so pleasing. That's just so good.
It's an interesting way of sort of expressing yourself. All of a sudden, you're finding there's success with this label and this label has an identity. And in a sense, in a nutshell, you're simply just expressing your taste and putting support to that.
Yeah, essentially. And it's like, I love the whole creative process from recording, writing, recording, and the promotional part of it as well. I enjoy working with an artist on the strategy to take them from position A to position B. And, you know, working with Maris, for example, taking from a completely unknown musician in the UK to one of the most talked about musicians of the last year has been a really fantastic, rewarding experience. And I love sitting down and trying to think creatively how to market a music. And each album is different, each artist is different, so it needs a different strategy. Which is still really exciting.
With all the talk of being a record exec, you are first and foremost a pianist and composer.
Yeah.
And you have a very, very strong set of musical ideas yourself, a new album, which is called Flight.
Yep.
And tell us a bit about that, because you incorporate your core quartet, which includes Marius Nasset, mm-hmm. and a string quartet.
Yeah, I mean, well, first I should say I studied classical piano at the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama. Mm-hmm. And so classical music has been a big part of my life, and I've always loved it. And my wife's a violinist, so that's obviously, there's a classical thing, a string thing coming from that as well. And I've always wanted to do stuff with strings and jazz. Mm-hmm. It's, to me, the sound world has got a lot of similarities, and especially the relationship between the saxophone and the strings. Mm-hmm. The kind of the way that the reed vibrates as well as the string vibrates, I feel there's quite a strong thing there. And, you know, I met the string quartet and that came together well, and then it's a question of just choosing the right jazz players then to go on top of it. And having met Maris was a kind of obvious choice. And then Dave Kane was again, he was a great reader and a great improviser, and I think fit really well into that kind of thing between the composer and the improviser, which I really wanted to get. I wanted to blur that thing and make it really strong. And then Olavi Luavuori was a drummer I met at Jazz Ahead in Germany last year, and we got talking about music and ended up we liked the same sort of stuff, and he kind of been playing lots of records that I had in my collection but I hadn't realised it, and there was a good chemistry we had. So having re-listened to a lot of stuff, I realised he was the perfect guy to kind of really colour the music and give a lot of texture, and wasn't really playing a timekeeper's role at all. It was just about giving that music some air and some real nice colours in there. You know, I love the music of Shostakovich and Arvo Pärt, but then also love Wayne Shorter and Jan Garbarek, and it's trying to, I suppose this project's all about bringing those different influences together into one sound. And I didn't try too hard to force that. I just let it happen naturally. I think a lot of composers force things too hard, or especially on the second or third albums, once they got a bit of press behind them, it's very hard to write that album that you're kind of associated with. Mm-hmm. And the thing is just to write music that you write and let it come out organically and naturally. And if you do that, your sound will emerge. That's the way I look at it.
Well, you express yourself as a jazz musician, so something about the music must allow you to get all of these things out, rather than say, well, I'm a classical musician and, you know, I like to use jazz musicians.
Yeah. I mean, it's expression, isn't it?
You know, yeah.
It's like, and I suppose the string quartet in this project was kind of my compositional voice being expressed, and then as a player I was there, and it's just letting the whole thing breathe to me. And you know, this music needed space, but I think that came from the jazz is just fitting on top of the string quartet. And you know, it's all a very organic process. I don't think about that stuff too much.
Thank you so much for coming in and speaking to me, Dave Stapleton. Tim Dickerson, thank
Pleasure.
You from Dave Stapleton's album Flight. This is Unity. Pianist Dave Stapleton and Unity, featuring the Brodowski String Quartet, with Marius Nasset on tenor saxophone, Dave Kane on the bass, and Olavi Luivuori on the drums. And my thanks to Dave Stapleton, both the pianist and record exec, and Tim Dickerson of Edition Records, and wish them continued success with the label. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online, and on digital radio. R&B jazz pianist Robert Glasper and his band Experiment are being featured on Jazz on 3, and we have a taster where the pianist vibes out on a groove with vocalist Casey Benjamin singing through the vocoder and some solid backbeat from the bass and drums of Derek Hodge and Mark Collenberg. Here on Jazz Lineup, we offer you a glimpse of a three-hour marathon of a concert at the Barbican last week by the Robert Glasper Experiment, which is to be broadcast for Jazz on 3 on June the 4th. It's a cover of Say Yes by Floetry, and here is the Robert Glasper Experiment.
You made me feel so.
That was the Robert Glasper Experiment, with Robert Glasper on piano and keyboards, Casey Benjamin on vocoder, Derek Hodge on the bass, and Mark Kollenberg on drums. That was Say Yes, and there's more from that set on June the 4th on Jazz on 3. And here's Jez Nelson to tell us what's on his show this week.
Hello, Julian. Well, on this week's show, I've music from the recent Cheltenham Jazz Festival and from one of my all-time favourite guitar players, Bill Frisell. He has a trio called the Beautiful Dreamers. His trio features a viola player called Ivan Kang and a drummer called Rudy Royston, and they really share Frisell's world view of sort of travelling across the genres. There's a bebop tune from Thelonious Monk, some American folk, and even a hair-raising distorted rock workout. So an amazing performance. Join me to hear Bill Frisell in concert on Jazz on 3 this coming Monday night at 11 o'clock.
Thanks, Jez. And as well as Jazz on Radio 3, remember, there's plenty more jazz across the BBC airwaves. Over on Radio 2, Tuesday nights at 7 p.m, there's Parliamentary Broadcaster of the Year, Jamie Cullum. And across the regions on local BBC Radio, lots of jazz treasures worth checking out. Trudy Kerr on BBC Radio Kent on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. and all available via the BBC iPlayer. Well, to set you up for that special set from Bill Frisell on Jazz on 3, here's his project with Floratone 2. Bill Frisell's on guitars, Matt Chamberlain's on drums and percussion, with production from Lee Townsend and Tucker Martin. This is The Time, The Place. From me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Hello, and a warm welcome to Through the Night here on Radio 3. I'm Susan Sharp, and first this morning I have a concert paying tribute to the great Catalan cellist Pablo Casals. At the start of his career, Casals played for Queen Victoria at Osborne House, and at the end, to President Kennedy and the White House. Apart from his mastery on the cello, Casals was a conductor, a pianist and a composer. And in this concert from the 2010 Casals International Music Festival, recorded in the Catalan village of El Vendrell near Barcelona, where he was born, we'll be hearing some of Casals' music. And first, a pastorale, on a single cello with a piano accompaniment.